I changed a light bulb one time that involved removing a glass bowl that surrounded the light bulb and the socket. I took the bowl down, put in the new bulb, took the glass bowl, and I secured it back in place with a few small screws, and I thought I was good to go. Well, a short time later, in the middle of the night, I heard a thunderous crash. I jumped up and I ran to the bathroom. And there it was, the glass bowl had fallen to the ground and shattered into countless shards of glass. Evidently, when I was tightening one of the screws, a hairline crack had formed, unseen by the eye. A tiny crack, an invisible crack, but one destructive enough to send the entire vessel crashing to the floor. False teaching works a lot like that. It starts out very small, maybe even seems to be true, and it can go undetected, but if it is left unchecked, if it goes on unnoticed, it can wreck an entire church. St. Paul says as much when he writes to the Galatians. Regarding heresy, he says, "A little leaven leavens the entire lump." Galatians 5:9. In the preface to his large catechism, Luther will say, "The devil is a master of a thousand arts." And he says that to make the point. The devil knows countless tricks and tactics by which he uses to assail humanity. And even the holy word of God, Scripture itself, is not immune to the devil's trickery, deceit, as he can take God's word and twist it just enough to where it still sounds true, when in reality, it's a lie. Paul writes to the Corinthians to say, when someone is blinded by the devil, darkened in their thinking and polluted in their minds, the scriptures remain a closed book. Moses, the law, and the prophets are read, but their testimony to Christ and his redemptive work remains hidden. The light of the gospel is veiled when people read Moses and make the conclusion the sacrifice of Christ is insufficient to cover all sin, and therefore works of the law must be added in order to attain God's favor and access to heaven. Sadly, what Paul is talking about to the Corinthians, it goes on today. Whenever I hear of people fiercely contending for Christians to celebrate church on Saturday because that's the true Sabbath as Leviticus commands, my suspicion is they argue that way not because theology is on their side, but because the gospel is veiled. They fail to recognize the fullness of the good news that Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the law, having freed us from rules and regulations by his sacred blood shed. Friends, the church is purified by Christ. Your holiness comes from Jesus. Placing Christians under a yoke of slavery. Placing Christians under a yoke of slavery is a denial of what Christ has accomplished, what he has done. And a yoke of slavery doesn't save. If one truly has living faith in the gospel, knowing and believing that Christ crucified is the sole work that has sealed your salvation with God, then would such a person really argue for celebrating the Feast of Booths, church on Saturday, or the necessity of women having long hair in the worship service? I think not. But seeing Moses as having the keys to heaven, that's just one way, one art used by the devil to blind people from seeing the gospel, the light of Christ. The law is good and righteous. The Ten Commandments flow all throughout of Scripture. But to rely upon the law to save you, however tempting and appealing to the flesh that may be, and one is destined to death. And so from all this, we take a couple of things. One, Seeing the devil as the master of a thousand arts, it's no wonder why he is called in the epistle lesson today the, quote, God, lowercase g, of this world. To many, he is a god, and he blinds people from seeing the light. Second, friends, in light of the devil's trickery, in light of sin and temptation, we should take seriously, believe, trust, and acknowledge the word of God that we hear in the Transfiguration this day, where God says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus." Between Moses and Elijah, Christ stands in dazzling apparel, having changed before the eyes of men, revealing his glory to the disciples while preparing for his crucifixion. The Old Testament, indeed all of Scripture, needs to be read in this light, that is, the light of Christ, or Scripture remains a closed book, a mystery veiled for the unbeliever. The light is Jesus. The light is Christ, by whom Scripture is opened, revealed by faith to the baptized believer who hears the word of God and says amen to the holy word of God, recognizing the testimony of Holy Scripture, which is Christ crucified for the sins of the entire world. The fundamental point of Holy Scripture is about God redeeming, God saving man, which he has done through his only begotten Son. God commands us to listen to him, not culture, not the world, and certainly not the devil. A hard thing to do, considering not only our proclivity to chase after those things that give us temporal pleasure, but the devil is a master of a thousand arts. And he speaks to us in a myriad of ways with the intent of blinding even the people of God from seeing the light of Christ. He is a Bible twister extraordinaire, whispering words with all the trappings of godliness and holiness when in fact they're lies and deceit. Therefore, it's the task of all of us to stay grounded in God's holy word, knowing the testimony of Scripture that points us to the true light, the light of Christ, a light that exposes and, friends, even destroys sin. The master of a thousand arts knows it takes just a little lie, just a little crack, just a little false teaching, just a little poison to poison an entire soul. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and when that happens, the glass bowl hits the ground and shatters. The Transfiguration, the changing of Jesus before the eyes of men, it's a narrative in which God tells us to listen to him, to hear his word and his word alone. But the Transfiguration also reveals to us who Jesus is exactly. Not a mere man, not another prophet, but true man and true God, whose glory is manifested before the disciples. And if you are wondering the content of the divine dialogue between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, Luke gives us some insights when he records they spoke about Jesus' departure from Jerusalem. And that Greek word for departure in Luke is one you've all heard many times and probably know pretty well. It is the Greek word Exodus, Jesus' exodus from Jerusalem. The Transfiguration of Jesus, friends, reveals to us his glory and his divinity, that he truly is the Son of God, begotten, not made, as we confess in the great Nicene Creed. He is true God and true man in the flesh, so the cross will hold our God, who does what no mortal can do. And that is, he carries the sins of the entire world. He carries your sin, my sin, all of it. And he sheds blood that covers you, purifying you before the Father. True glory, then, is found in none other than Jesus, the image of the everlasting God, the perfect, sinless Son of God, sent to save you from death and bring you to life everlasting. Peter, James, and John see this, and they respond in great terror. But their response does leave a little to be desired, because they want to build 3 tents, when in fact they needed none. And the command that comes to them in their moment of terror is from God, who says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." A cloud overshadows them, blocking their vision. The words of the Father sink into their ears, and they see only Jesus. Friends, when we suffer, when we go through a great tribulation, whatever that is, there's always that temptation to seek relief in someone else, something else other than our Lord and our God. And that sits just fine with the devil. But like the cloud that enveloped the terrified followers of Jesus, suffering can be a good thing in that it forces us to realize our weakness and our own ineptitude, that reliance upon ourselves is sure to fail as we cry out to our Lord and our God for mercy. Like the crowd at the cloud at the Transfiguration, the cloud that cut off their vision from seeing Moses and Elijah, suffering in many ways works the same in that it can cut off our vision to other things, our reliance upon other things, and force us to rely and trust in the mercy and grace of our Lord and our God, our Savior Jesus Christ. There is some silver lining in suffering and tribulation, and that is it forces us to rely upon someone greater than ourselves, a rock and a refuge, that no matter how much the wind and the waves beat against it, God's promise is the rock of Christ will not fail. We all know that sins weigh heavy on our hearts, and sins weigh heavy on our minds, and we know our guilt is evident before our God. But friends, the gospel, the good news really is the assurance that your Savior Jesus is with you. He is for you. And by faith, you have him as that rock and that refuge that will never give away. And in the shadow of his wings, the baptized believer lives, protected, loved, forgiven, and redeemed. The God of this world, the master of 1,000 arts, has already been defeated by this light, cast out, as the scriptures say, by the light of Christ. Your Savior, who has taken away the very thing the devil has on you, and that is your sin. To this day, what Jesus accomplishes at the cross belongs to you by faith. That is not an abstract theological phrase without any relevance in your life. But it's a word of comfort, a word of consolation that Christ and all of his benefits, all of his merits, belongs to you, not by your own work to achieve or merit such things, but by faith that grabs hold of Jesus and he is yours. His perfection, his righteousness, his holiness, his blood shed to redeem you, to ransom you from death, and make you his very own child. This is comfort to every sinner who knows what it is like to deal with the agony of sin. The light of Jesus is the very light that exposes and burns away even sin. It is the light in which we can come boldly and confess our sin, putting the devil to flight as we hear God's sure and certain word of absolution, forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus, who even the master of 1,000 arts cannot and will not overcome. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and protect your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.